for the whole world, but also especially for Israel. And he sent his son because he had made a promise hundreds of years earlier, in fact, 700 years earlier. He had made a promise to Israel that at the right moment, in the fullness of time, he would send his son and he would become a king. So even though Jesus, we know him as Savior, he's actually Savior and Lord. If he's a Savior, that means your sins are forgiven, they're covered, they're not going to be remembered anymore. But that doesn't change you. All that does is give you a new heart. It gives you a new chance, a new life. But now that you're born again by faith, you are now to be discipled and disciplined and all the sin removed, not just forgiven. It's one thing to forgive the sin, it's another thing to actually take it away, to transform us. So lordship is where he makes a command and you can keep it. But you can't make a command and keep it until first you're born again and have a new heart. So now that you have a new heart, he wants to renew your soul and your body so that you're a light to the world. The world does not see your faith. They do not see the work of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you when you're being disciplined and discipled. But they do see the evidence or the fruit in your life unless you don't have any evidence and any fruit. So one of the problems today is there's still darkness in the world because there's no light in your life. So if you have the Lord in your life, the idea is not to keep him there. You're not. It's not for selfishness. It's not just to get you into heaven. It's so that heaven may come through you to others because we live for others. We're not eating our own fruit. The fruit that we bear is not for ourselves. It's not even for God. The fruit that we bear is for those that are thirsty and hungry as we just partook of the meal. So for us, that new life doesn't just stop with believing. It doesn't just stop with Jesus being born. But it was his whole life that was a light. The true light has come into the world. That whole life is the light. And that's nothing more than the promise that God made, the word become flesh. Whenever you have a word, if it isn't incarnated, if it isn't fleshed out, to say I love you has no meaning unless there's some evidence, some proof, something on the outside to show that that's why you were born, so you could bear fruit for God. So the reason you're born again, the reason you believe in Jesus, is not so you go to heaven. It's so that you can bring heaven to earth. And then others may also join us in heaven forever and ever. So you are called, in other words, not just to be a believer, but also to be a disciple until you're dead to this world and alive to God. If you are not dead to yourself, you will not be able to live and love and show light. And no one will see that city shining on a hill because there won't be any shine. So for many Christians, and for most Christians, I would say, they just simply believe this is personal, it's selfish, it just gets me into heaven. And then I can live like hell all the way to heaven, and then I go to heaven. That's not the gospel. That's not good news. And it's not the truth. The reason that he birthed you is to give you a full and abundant life on this in this world, as well as forever and ever. So we're to start heaven now, today. Now I want to read these scriptures because they give the background of the ninth chapter that says, "For unto us a child, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born." And what is the purpose of that child that's given and born? The purpose is that he might be what? Wonderful Counselor, Pele Yaatz in the Hebrew. And not only that, but Mighty God, El Gibor. But not only that, also Everlasting Father, Ad Av. And also Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom. Those four titles tell us everything about the nature of God. Pele Yaatz, he's a wonderful counselor. His counsel is something wonderful. There is nothing on earth that compares to the counsel of God. If you don't live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, you're not really alive. You're only alive when you live by every word. Not just that you're born again, but that you stay and abide and continue in that word until that word takes over your life. When that word takes over your life, you no longer need to worry about your life, but you can serve others. The reason why there's very little service in the churches today is because you have not been discipled or trained to death until there's nothing left of you, because God's love is all sufficient and you're complete in Him. So I don't need to take care of me anymore. I can now take care of others. And that, when you lose your life, that's when you find it. When you lose your life, that's when you find it. So your prayer every day should be, Lord, since you give me everything, and since you've held back nothing, and even though I don't see it, I don't need to, I just trust you, then I am free now. Even before I see it, even before I feel it, even before I understand it, I am free now to love my husband, my wife, my children, my neighbor, my enemy, whoever. Now, that's God's will. That's God's purpose. And that's God's pleasure. When men see your good works, they won't give you the glory. When men see your good works, they'll give glory to your Father in heaven. Because you didn't do it. You nowhere on earth would anyone ever want to go through affliction and fire and trouble and difficulty and problems and judgments and affliction except among us. We're the only ones that go through, and not only do we go through the fire, we rejoice. Count it all joy when you face various trials and troubles and tribulations. How many know today our political systems are breaking down? Our economic systems are breaking down. Our social societies around the world are divided, and they're warring against one another, class warfare, and men against women, and you know, blacks against whites, and all the problems. Well, God doesn't want that. His idea, and He always gets His way, His idea is to have all mankind, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. He wants all mankind, young, old, fat, dumb, skinny, smart. He doesn't care what the differences are. He wants us to unify and love one another. Not say we love, not just hypocritically pretend we love, but truly to see each other. And there's nothing in you that will do that. If God doesn't do it for you and in you and through you individually, you will never be able to do that. And God's not wanting it to be from the soul or from the body. He doesn't want it to be hypocritical. He wants it to be from the heart. That you truly are totally 100% happy today, totally fulfilled, then you can love. Then you can worship. You can love God, you can love your neighbor, you can love the church, you can love the enemies, you can love everything. Because God, who is love, liveth in you. Now, did you know you're happy today? If you're a believer, you have no worries, no troubles, no problems, you're totally content, you're completely, absolutely, totally, 100% joyous in the Lord. Did you know that's true? If you were born again, that's what you're born again to be. Now you say, well, I hope someday. No, not someday, today. Well, I'm not quite there. Well, I know you don't see it, but we live by faith. We don't care what you see. Just, you can talk that way today. It's not wrong to say I love you to your wife. You can actually say that. And it's not wrong for the wife to say, you know, you're the best husband I've ever had. That was a little bit humorous. You're the best husband. God gave you to me as a gift. So when you begin to talk that way, you're edifying, building up people rather than tearing them down or ignoring them or acting as though they're not there. So when you give thanks to God for the person and persons that are in this world, even I don't care who they are, where they are, what they're like, it doesn't matter if they've just abused you, if they've taken advantage of you. That's wonderful. That's a blessing. How many are excited when that happens? You have to be excited. Paul, thank you. That's good. Nick, it's good. Yeah, you're getting there. But they don't do that in Louisiana. But here in Texas, we have to love by faith. We don't love by feeling. We don't want to feel it. We don't understand it. We don't want to want it. God says, you've been crucified. You're a new creation. And so therefore, you just start doing it. You just do it. Well, but I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, you're a hypocrite anyway, so don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. If you don't do it, you're a hypocrite, because you're born again. You're filled with the Spirit. And if you're not, just get born again and get filled with the Spirit. You can have that anytime you want. But then you're not allowed to be you anymore. You are only allowed to be Christ in you. You're only allowed to be Christ. You say His words, you do His deeds, you feel His feelings, you have His thoughts, you have His will. So it's not my will, but thine be done. So that's Christianity. It's not you doing it. It's actually Him doing it, and He's already done it. Therefore, you can do it. since it's already done, it's already over. In heaven, there's no time, there's no space. So in heaven, it's already finished. So you are allowed now to love people that will hate you back. You're allowed to love people that won't appreciate your love. You're allowed to love people that don't at all, you know, they're not going to give you anything for it, any recognition, anything. You just get to love for free. You can be good for nothing. And most of you are halfway there because you're already good for nothing. So you can be good just for nothing, for no reason. In other words, you're not good to get something. We aren't performing to get a relationship. We have a relationship, therefore we perform. God does it just the opposite of Buddhism, just the opposite of Catholicism, just the opposite of Judaism, just the opposite of every religion, including 99% of most Christians. He gives you the end from the beginning. He doesn't start with you earning your way to it. He will never give anyone a gift. He'll never give anyone a wage for earning something. You can't obligate God ever. Now, God, you owe me. No, he doesn't owe you. Now, God makes promises to you, but where would you take him to court if he didn't do it? You know, God, you said, if I rejoiced, everything would go well. I rejoiced and it didn't. You know, you can't obligate God because God is smarter than you are. And he knows when to put you in a furnace and when to spank you and discipline you. And he knows when to hug you and love you and forgive you and be merciful and so on and so forth. So you don't get to tell him when. Every child, if they learn that, they could take advantage of their parent. You're supposed to love. Don't spank me right now. You have to love me. But love sometimes takes spanking. How many know that the father that loves his son chastens him? If the father loves you, you will go through the furnace. Israel is loved by God. That's why she's going through one more time. She's been through six times. Now she'll go through one more time when she'll be hated and despised. Now I'm going to read all this background for you to show where this all came from. Starts from the beginning of the world. God set it up, and there's no way that you can grow in this world or be dead to yourself without going through seven times affliction, trouble, suffering, and fire. How many have been through once? You've already gone through one trial. It's good. Okay. Did that kill you off? No. All that did was slow you down for some hypocritical words like, God, okay, I've got it. You know, but that doesn't mean you learned it that quickly. Children who learn don't learn. They learned it in that moment when they're about to get the spanking. Okay, I got it. You know. But you need many, many of those. You need seven. Gold is only purified when you send it into the furnace seven times. In other words, as many times as it takes to get all the dross out of you. Once you're dead to yourself, it's easy to love. If you're not dead to yourself, you cannot love. You can love conditionally. I love you if you love me. I love you if you appreciate my love. You know, I want something for it. But that's not Christianity. In Christianity, Jesus doesn't want anything for his love. The Father just said, you go down and love them unconditionally, and even if they kill you, just jump up again and love them some more. Don't fail in this love thing that I've sent you on, this mission of love. You don't ever quit until you're killed, until you're dead, until you have no will of your own. Just do what I say. Trust me, it'll work. So when you love people, they don't pay you back with love. Now, that, a lot of us think that. Well, you know, if I ever clean up my life, people will appreciate me. No, they won't. Even if you're wonderful, they killed Jesus, and he was perfect. So even if you do everything right, you're going to get no reward for it. Isn't that awful? Because flesh wants to get a reward. Whenever flesh does something, it does it in order to get something. So it has a motive. The reason I was kind to you is so you could be kind back to me. But a Christian is loving and joyful and kind for no reason whatsoever on this earth, but because he first loved us. The reason we love is because he, upstairs, God, loved us first. That's why you can do it. Now, you've never seen him, so you can't do it and then immediately see the reward. The reward has to be just because the word says, I love you. It's just a letter. You've never seen God. You've never hugged him. You've never gotten close to him. He's a spirit. But he just said it. He wrote it down, and you just go by what the word says, and that pleases him. is, oh, look, that's one of my children, because they didn't need to see it to believe it. They just believed it, and therefore they did it, and then later they saw it. Almost never when you love someone is there an immediate response, but sometimes there is. And usually newborn believers, when they're just brand new, they love and they're immediately loved back and they feel, oh, this is so easy. Newborns are like that. They're just fresh and they're, you know, all the faith in the world and confidence. But the older you get, the more you realize there's a postponement between when you do something for someone else and then when you see the reward. And you may never see it in this world. You may never see it. Jesus did not see lots of evidence when he died. He has to wait. When he comes back, then his eyes will behold, oh, look what all the Father has done. He was able to change Debbie. You know, that was powerful. And Bill and Sam and Luke and so on. So that evidence doesn't come right away. But later, when he comes back, he'll see his beloved. And she'll be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And that's you. Can you say that's me? Say, that's me. That's me. Say it again. That's me. I'll be without spot or wrinkle. I'll be perfect. And he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in the joy of your master. I'm going to look like that someday, not by anything I do, but by what he has done. All the work that you do by the power of the Holy Spirit does not get you into heaven. If you do anything for anybody, it doesn't get you into heaven. You go into heaven by what Jesus did. So that's why I said you're good for nothing, because you're not being good to get something. You're being good because you don't need anything. You're being good because he did everything. So when you're good, people notice, that wasn't you. That wasn't you. Now, 8th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet, 700 years before Jesus, he prophesied these words. Moreover, the Lord said unto me, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 1, Moreover, the Lord said to me, take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen. So he's got this big long scroll concerning Maharshal El Hashbaz. Now, that is the longest name in the Bible. Okay, so Maharshal, that means quickly seize the prey. Quickly go and take the spoils. And El Hashbaz is, and devour it and eat it up. So now, if I take spoil, that's the treasures, the riches, the positive. If I devour it, that's the part that, you know, I eat and then it's gone. All right, now what's he saying? He's saying that the good is to get all the spoils, okay? That's the part that lasts forever. That's your spirit being purified. The bad is that your flesh is devoured. So when you go through a trouble or a difficulty or a problem, do it quickly. Quickly. Take the prey, seize it, eat it, and then the same thing, take up the spoils, all the treasures and the riches, and they're yours. Keep them. Now do it quickly. All right. But he's not really talking about us. He's actually talking about Assyria, the bad guy, who happens to be God's tool. Did you know that God uses bad guys? That's how he uses you. Isn't that interesting? He uses bad guys because that's all he's got. That's all that's available. Do you all understand how bad you are? How you're not perfect, how you're not like God, how you didn't do anything he said to do with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and, you know, wholeheartedly. That's why you need God to come. Because if he had not come, you would have no capacity, no ability to ever love anybody. Your love would always be conditional. Well, I love her because she's my daughter. Okay, but that's a condition there. And if she weren't, you wouldn't. But the love of God is unconditional. I love even when it's not my own, even though I get nothing for it. You know, that's the love of God. Jesus came down among enemies, people that hated him. He was the light, we were the dark. He was the truth teller, we were the liars. Whatever it is, that's a different kind of love that this world does not know. And you are not born with that. You are not born unselfish. Has anyone discovered that you're not unselfish? You're not unselfish. Everything that you do is selfish. It's always oriented to my interest. Even when I'm kind to somebody, it's only so they'll be kind back, or someone will recognize it, or I'll go to heaven or something. I want something for it. I don't want to just not be selfish for no reason. I want to get something for that, because, gosh, it's easy to be selfish, but to be unselfish, wow, I should get a reward for that, because it's, you know, I'm not doing my own thing. Well, you know what? You're still selfish, and God sees it, and He knows your motives. He knows. So the only way you can do that is if God gives you ahead of time everything and said, look, don't even work for this. Let me just give it to you. And now you can just give it to others. So He didn't give it to you to excuse you. He gave it to you so you could love others for no reason. You can just simply love anybody, be relaxed. You're just totally relaxed in this world, just like it is, rotten as it can be, dark as it can be, full of snakes and thieves and liars and you. And there's no difference. There's no difference. Isn't that exciting? Could you actually be happy in this world as it is, not fixed up? See, when Jesus came, He never complained. He never said, oh, the Jewish people, my own people, they don't like me. He never complained about that. Pilate's against me. Herod's against me. Caiaphas is against me. Everybody's against me. My own disciples don't even do what I say. Jesus never complained. Jesus died for all of them. For God so loved the world, not the church. For God so loved the world, not the good guys. For God so loved the world. He loved the world. And He said, Jesus, I want you to go down and die for them. So He came down as a child. First thing they tried to do is kill Him. As soon as He was born. Right there, a few shepherds, of course, you know, gave Him some, you know, what did they give Him? Nothing. Did you know the shepherds gave nothing? Well, there's some kings that gave something because they thought He was a king. And He didn't look like a king, and He wasn't born in a palace. So those kings were crazy. There was something stupid about those kings, because they came and they gave Him gold and myrrh and incense and so on, and He needed that, you know, for His journey. But at the time, they didn't know. It was like, wow, why is He giving all this stuff? Because that's God's son. Wow. Not many people know about it. And Herod wanted to kill Him as soon as he heard about it. So this is a strange story. It's a story that turns everything upside down. And that's so you couldn't believe it. He did it so you could never believe it. So if you do believe it, that's only because a miracle just took place. If you could ever believe what God just did is joy to the world or something like that, that's just because you read the word and something crazy happened that you believe that. Because it doesn't make any sense. Why would God, if I were God, would I have my son born in a manger? I'd boot everybody out of town and have him born in a hospital. And I would have it in, you know, Rome, or at least Jerusalem, or some nice place where there's hot towels and stuff. That's my son being born. I wouldn't say, yeah, put him in a barn. I wouldn't do it. Yeah. You have any, and put a lot of cow manure around there. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Make it smelly and stinky and cold and make sure that there's no towels, no nothing. And that, I know it's Mary's first, but, you know, I just wanted to make sure she had a nice time. No, the whole thing was grubby. The whole thing was horrible. You couldn't have had a worse condition, situation. She was 7 months pregnant and her own relatives. I mean, she isn't like she's going to some strange town. She's among her own people, and they won't even let her in the inn. Hey, there's no room for you, sweetheart. Out. And so, yeah, but my wife is pregnant. She's going to have a baby pretty soon. Fine. Out in the barn. You know, it's like, those are my relatives. How many know that your own family can turn against you? Isn't that exciting when that happens? Don't you love it? When your own family, I mean, we're not even talking about enemies. We're not even talking about people that hate your guts. We're talking about people that supposedly are supposed to love you, and they abuse you. They mistreat you. They do not understand how great you are. You have to tell them. Did you know that that can happen? You know that your family doesn't even appreciate you because they know you. They know you. And if you have other brothers and sisters, you know, they're not necessarily going to like you. So everyone doesn't grow up in a wonderful home. Most people feel, you know, she got more than I did, or, you know, my parents are arguing all the time or whatever. And most people, it isn't perfect. Do you all see that? Now half of the families are divorced. And, you know, multiple marriages and all this kind of stuff. Happens all the time. Well, rejoice. This is what God says. Oh, yeah, don't worry about all that. Just heaven overwhelms all that. Don't worry about it. God loves you. You're fine. Now, God loves you not in general, but he loves you specifically. Everybody understand that? Loves you specifically. Now, and it's the Jewish people that are most loved because they've gone through the most trouble, and they're going to go through more. And here's the verse. And I took unto me faithful witnesses to record Uriah the priest, Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. And I went unto the prophetess, that's his wife, this is Isaiah's wife, she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Mahershal al-Hashbaz, for before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus, that's the bad guy, and the spoil of Samaria. Ah, that's the Yankees. How many know that Yankees are northerners? And so all of Israel, 10 tribes, they were all above Jerusalem. Jerusalem is kind of like in the middle. And everything above it is called Yankee land or northern. Those are the northern tribes. So Manasseh and all those tribes. There's only 2 tribes to the south. And the south is at a disadvantage because it only has 2 tribes. But the king came from the south, King David. And his tribe is Yehuda, which means praise. When you are in a minority like that, you should praise the Lord. Did you hear what I just said? When you're in the minority, there's 10 tribes, they're the most. And then you're just 2 tribes. Benjamin, son of my right hand. Here's my right hand. The son of my right hand means my favorite. So Benjamin, he was the little guy. And he was staying with Yehuda, the praiser. So that's beautiful. These names mean a lot. At any rate, those 2 tribes, God said, I'm going to give the 2 tribes a warning when I take the 10 tribes away and have them sent into bondage. When I put them in bondage, that should give you an idea. Don't be so smug. Don't be so smart. Don't be so full of yourselves. Because they were idolaters. They were immoral. They were unjust. Has anyone here been an idolater? You've had another god rather than God? I mean, you had God as a god, but you were also a god. Is anyone here, brother, like that? You know, yes, I believe in God, but I also believe in me. And, you know, if he doesn't come through, I do me. How many have that god? I mean, and so they had other gods, but that's going to get you in trouble because then you're going to do immoral things. You are not going to be moral. You're not going to be virtuous. You're going to be vicious. And many other things. And injustice will come from that. You'll never be able to escape it. America today is being judged. It's being judged politically, which is why the light shines on that city set on a hill, is to help the political system. But it isn't being helped today. Why? Because there's no light in the church. I didn't explain that. But if there's no light in the church, there's no prosperity in the economy or in the political system. The society has fallen apart because there's no light. The light comes indirectly from the church. No, not directly. It's in the foundation. Christianity isn't established in the political system. It should have nothing to do with it. It should be completely separated, completely cut off. There should be no covenant made with this world. We are God's people. We do not belong to this world. Now, they see we have buildings and, you know, we have money and so on. So they think we're part of this world. No, no, no. This is not an ordinary building. It doesn't matter what it looks like. This is a building dedicated to God. What's the difference? Just that. That God said, use this building. It's just a building. But we use it. We dedicate it to God's use only. It's not a brothel. It's not a commercial house. It's not a political, you know, place. It's just for God. Now, it could be used when we're not using it for some other purpose, and it doesn't change the bricks. It doesn't change the building itself. But when we use this, and we've dedicated it, so we don't really give it out to other groups. We don't give it out to anybody because it's just dedicated for God. But the building itself is just, in fact, there are mice that come in here. Of course, they're church mice. And there's a chicken outside. I don't know if you've seen that chicken. And not only that, the police force feeds that chicken. Isn't that interesting? So you see why it's still alive. I don't know how it survives out there. Has anybody seen it? Has anybody seen that chicken? And we don't take care of it or do anything. But the police, they don't know why, but they came and said, "Do you mind if we feed that chicken?" I said, "It's not my chicken. It's not a church chicken." They thought this was church's chicken, but it isn't. So they go out on the sidewalks right out there. They go out on the sidewalk and put down the little grains, and that chicken comes right out and eats it up. And they love it. I mean, this is part of the police joy. Now, God wants us always to stay separate unto Him. That's where our joy comes from. That's where our love comes from. That's where everything comes from. If you're joined to God, you cannot be joined to this world. He's jealous. He's a jealous God. If you're holy, you're not common. So we have nothing in common with this world. When you're holy, you're holy. Now, if you're an immature Christian, you have a lot in common with this world because you're immature. So that means your spirit is holy, but your soul is still unholy. That's why you have to go through the furnace. That's why you have to go through the little means. He has a little ways and means committee that puts you through the fire, through the difficulty, through the problems, through the spankings, through the teachings, through everything until you're dead. Now, some of you are resisting death. I can tell. You don't mind that Jesus died for your sins, but you don't want to actually surrender to Him and let Him put you through the furnace to get rid of all those sins. Because when you go through the flame, I can tell, you go like this. God, help, take it away. No, don't say it like that. Say it like this. Hallelujah, turn it up, more fire. But I noticed that most people don't do that. Most Christians, when something bad happens, they complain, they gripe, they don't laugh, they don't get excited. They don't remember the verse that says, in the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. They didn't remember that. Isn't that funny? When things go bad, that just shows how immature we are. When things go bad, we gripe. What's not right? Let's change something here. Let's call on God. Let's do something. Let's see if God can do anything. Well, He won't. God won't do it because He put you in that furnace to burn you up till there's nothing left of you. Isn't that wonderful? Such a loving thing. Because He's answering your deepest prayer, which is, God, whatever it takes, burn it out of me. I mean, the problem in the world is not the problem in the world. It's me. My sin needs to be not only forgiven, but it needs to be removed. If I would just change, there'd be some light in this world. And the way to change is be dead. If I just not take care of me anymore, not worry about me anymore, if I just surrender to You and let You take care of me, and then I'd be happy all the time. Now, you know, if you were happy all the time, you'd be hated. Are you aware of that? If you get into the elevator and everybody's there and, you know, they're going to work on Monday morning, hallelujah! No one is going to appreciate that. They're not going to appreciate that. Or if you're at the drinking fountain and you say, hey, how are you? Well, you know, my husband's leaving, or, you know, whatever. And he's found another girl. You know, they're not into rejoicing. Now, they don't like it that you're happy. As a matter of fact, it makes them really angry. Because they've had problems and they've had troubles and you don't know. You do not know. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. So nobody knows. And so they want to tell you. And they are very happy that you want to know how they are. Well, how are you today? Well, and then they just love it. And they're just going to go on and 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 tell you how bad it is, right? Okay. Well, that's the kind of world you live in. And imagine your response is, hallelujah. Well, praise God. They hate you. They don't like you. Because they don't want anyone being happy when they're miserable, right? Misery loves company, other miserable people. And if you're not miserable when you get to them, after they tell you the story, you'll be miserable too. And so people tend to try to wear you down with their story. Look, you don't know. You don't know. You do not know what I've gone through. So stop being smiling. And now you're not allowed to smile around them. You have to walk around, tiptoe around, you know, see, don't tell anybody you're happy. At Christmas, it's okay. Did you know that there are more suicides at Christmas time, this time, right now? There are more suicides because people remember happy times and they aren't anymore, or they remember sad times and they're still sad, and they want to blame somebody or whatever. Most people just can't face the holidays. because they don't want to feel holy or happy. They don't have a family to go to. They don't have a family that loves them and cares for them. They don't even want to go. Don't wear that. So the holidays are the biggest time, whether it's Thanksgiving or whatever. Those are the biggest time people just check out because they just can't take it. Now, God wants you to be happy in this kind of world where you're not appreciated, you're not loved, and so on. And he wants you to be happy and you not to cheat and you not to do whatever the world does because you have a connection to God. You are a living stone tied to his big stone, and that's all that matters. And you don't care about anybody else. You don't want any covenants with anybody, any agreements with anybody, anything in common with anybody. You all see that? You want to be totally alone. You don't even want to have a nice church. You don't want to have a nice church. Oh, well, your church is better than the last church. Sorry. No, you don't want that. That's just going to hurt you because you're going to imagine that people actually really love you. It's just because you're new and they don't know you yet. But as soon as they get to know you and you get to know them, the thing will fall apart. So don't hope because it'll always disappoint. But if you go in knowing these are imperfect people and I'll ruin it even if it wasn't, but I'm going to join it anyway. And I'll, you know, if they can put up with me, praise the Lord. Okay? You don't have to be fixed up. We don't like you because you're fixed up. We like you because you're not fixed up. Now, you can be phony, and phony is okay too. You want to be phony? Be phony. We love you phony. You will be the most favorite phony person. It's very good. You're a very good phony. It's nothing wrong with that. You know, if people don't want to come clean or, you know, whatever, I don't blame them. That's a good thing is to mask yourself from other people so they don't get at you right away. But before God, he wants reality, and he knows your heart. He knows exactly where you are. And so you want to be in a big church if you want to be phony, because it's easier. It's a lot easier if there's thousands of people there. So you want to join one of those because it's just easy to sit there and look like you're a normal human being. But in a small church, you're spotted right off. It's just like your family. There's only three or four people, and they always notice when you're there and when you're not there. Hey, where's Ted? You know, and you're looking around for Ted. Where's Susan? Susan, get in here. You want everybody at the table. In a small church, everybody sees that. Isn't that funny? So, but in big churches, you can get lost. You can just sit there and look pious, and nobody says anything. They don't want to know if you're surfing the internet or what you're doing, bad or good. They don't want to know because they're just, hi, how are you? Fine, how are you? And then that's it. Or not even talk to anybody. Sit in the back row. The people that sit in the back row are the smartest people, because then you can get out right off. You know, and if something goes wrong, you can make a beeline. So I try to station people at the back who check your name down, check to make sure you're happy. Now, you are happy today. You are happy today. I didn't say you felt happy. You are happy today, and you are a lover today. You don't know that. You don't even want that, but I'm just telling you that's who you are. If any man is Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. If any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is. Now, is a special kind of word, present active indicative. It means continually is. You are continually is. A new creation. That means the old, and he says it, the old has passed away. That means there's no old. And the new has come. Perfect. That's the perfect tense. So it has come means it can't come any more than it has come. It's already come. Now, if that's true, you could meditate on that. You could chew on that. You could live by that. And then you could act that way. Since it's true that I love Peggy with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength, even though you don't see it, if it's true, then I might as well go ahead and say it because it's true. I do love her with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. She's the best. Do y'all like that? Yeah. You don't want me to pick on Peggy? No. I do that to catch you. Don't think Peggy doesn't like it. She loves the attention. Everybody feels sorry for her. It's come up afterward. It must be tough living with him. You know? I don't know why he does that. You know, and they're trying to help her. And she's going, you don't understand. I love it. And thanks for coming forward, because it's good to have attention like this. She's a snake. She's just like everybody else. Now, apart from me, you can do nothing, but in me, you can do all things. So everything is a gift from God. Amen? So I want you to say right now that you love your pastor, Pastor Jim. Just go ahead and say it. Thank you. You know, actually, I feel good. I feel good. And I love you all perfectly, just the way you are. You don't have to fix up. You don't have to clean up. You don't have to ever change. You are loved for no reason at all. We love because He first loved us. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. So you don't have to say, well, I hope someday I'll be more loving. No, you are right now. What Jesus did, because you don't have any love of your own, so you're talking about your kind of love is not love. But God's kind of love is finished, perfect, and from the moment it comes, it's ready to do. It's ready to go. Have you ever seen a gazelle born out in the you know, savannah? No, you haven't. But unlike our babies, that you born them and then they have to lay there and they don't move for months, a gazelle or a giraffe or whatever, they can be born, lay on the ground a few seconds, get up on their legs, and start running. Just that quick. So you need to see more, you know, History Channel or whatever it is. Whatever it is. National Geographic, I guess. But whatever it is, that's amazing that the lion is right over there, but he can't. That little kid can get up right away because it's a newborn giraffe or whatever it is, and it can run. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, it didn't have any time to learn. You know, it's kind of like the mother quickly tells him, now get up and run. You can do it. You can do it. You know, there's nothing. The kid just gets up and knows how to do it. So that's amazing how God is so wise that he figures out how to make this whole universe operate for you. It's all for you. Everything is for you. Everything is for you. Everything is for you to enjoy. You can have a wonderful time here. You can have heaven on earth. But the only way you can do it is if heaven comes down. You can't get up, so it has to come down. That's why Jesus was born. Now, this is such a powerful, powerful verse, chapter 8. No one ever reads this or preaches out of this. And I went to the prophetess, and she bore the son, and we called his name Mahershal al-Hashbaz. And before the child shall have the knowledge to cry, mother and father, the riches of Damascus, the spoil of Samaria, shall be taken away. Now Samaria is the northern tribes, as I told you, before the king of Assyria. So he's the guy that's going to seize the prey and so on. The Lord spoke also to me again, saying, for as much as this people, and he's talking about the Jewish people, that is the southerners, for as much as this people refuse the waters of Shiloah, that go softly, and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son. So, in other words, these are bad guys. You don't like the little waters I give you. They're soft. But you want the roaring waters. Now, therefore, since you want the world, you don't want the little quiet stuff I was giving you. Behold, the Lord bringeth upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory, and he shall come up over all his channels, go over all his banks. He shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, so you're going to be drowned. And the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. So, you remember the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel? That was the previous chapter, 7:14. Now, that virgin, that Alma, who's betrothed to a man, this is why Mary is betrothed to Joseph. That is the prophecy that Mary fulfills. And that land is called the land of Emmanuel, God's people. We are that people. Okay, Israel is that people, but so are we. We are spiritual Israel, not physical. We are spiritual Israel, or we can be both. You can be both spiritual. As a matter of fact, if you're physical Israel, you need to be spiritual Israel. Not all of Israel is Israel. So true Israel is not physical. That'd be no different than Ishmael. That's why there's a battle today in the land of Israel between Ishmael and the Esau people, the Edomites and so on. They're fighting because they're both sons of Abraham. Sons, grandsons, you know, great-grandsons. They're all fighting each other and they're kissing cousins. But they hate each other with a passion. That's the way life is. Has anyone noticed that? I don't care what part of the family of man you're from, there's warfare not only between members of the family, but inside each member itself. Isn't that amazing? And there's only one solution to that, the light that has come into the world to enlighten every man, to tell you the truth and set you free. And so Jesus comes to say, the only hope of the world is me. There's no other hope. I'm it. The way I do it is the way you can do it. If you follow my example, you will be set free. The truth will set you free. So Jesus comes, and this king of Assyria took the northern tribes in the year 700. It'll be another 120 or 30 years. Nobody knows the exact date. History doesn't tell you this accurately. But still, let's just say it's over 100, between 100 and 150. That's when the southern tribes get taken by Babylon, the next kingdom. So kingdom number one was Egypt. Kingdom number two is Assyria. And now kingdom number three will be Babylon, but that's later. But this is a warning then to Judah, the southerners. Here it is. 9. Associate yourselves, O ye people. Make covenants, make contracts, make agreements. Be joined together, associations, and you shall be broken in pieces. If you associate with anything in this world, you people of the southern tribes, Judah people, Benjamin people, don't ever join this world in any way, formally or substantially. Make no covenants, make no agreements, have nothing in common. So he says, associate yourselves and you'll be broken to pieces. Now that's exactly what's happened to Israel today. She is scattered throughout the world. You can go anywhere in the world, there are Jewish people there. Now, they're scattered, but they're actually doing well. But they're not in their land where God told them to go. So sometimes, if you notice this, if you will do what God says not to do, you'll actually do well. Isn't that amazing? That is worse than doing poorly, because then you learn your lesson. But if he lets you alone and lets you, okay, fine, you want to do that? Okay, go ahead. Well, it's working. You said if we were cursed, kicked out of the land, that that would be a judgment. Ha! We're getting away with murder. We're making dough hand over fist. We love being in Babylon. You know there are Jews living in Iran, and they want to stay. They got homes there. They got businesses there. Did you know that behind the headlines, Muslims and Jews get along? I don't know if you know this. And Christians get along with Muslims and Jews. I don't know if you understand that. Business is done every day between those people that hate each other. Now, isn't that interesting? They can't marry each other. They can't, you know, have any associations, you know, let's say invited into the family and that kind of thing. And yet, they do business all the time. And people aren't aware of that. Because business is not intimate. Business is just business. And if the Muslim has the oil, you got to get it from him. Or if this guy has the diamonds or whatever the thing is. I mean, there's a lot of trade going on between people that supposedly hate one another. And the whole world is like that. In Ireland, if you're Catholic and then you're Protestant, you know, some kind of Anglican or something or other, they get along, you know, in some other way. Maybe she has the shop and, you know, he wants to buy the flour or whatever it is. It happens all the time. People actually do business with one another. They don't care. That's just what your leaders put up to divide you. And our leaders do the same. They make decisions that have nothing to do with our will, nothing to do with our safety, nothing to do with our happiness. They just do what their donors tell them to do. They do what their, you know, lobbyists pay them to do. They don't care about you. Or they're part of an international conspiracy of people that just gather together and say, this is the way we want the world to go. You're going to be president this year. You're going to be president next time. So on. They just make deals that have nothing to do with you. You have no knowledge of how conspiratorial, and people hate conspiracies, but you have no knowledge that conspiracies have been from the beginning of the world, and they always will be. It's not going to go away, not until Jesus comes back. So he said, don't conspire together, don't make deals, especially if you're a politician, because that's all they do. They're constantly making deals. Hey, if you vote with me on this one, I'll vote with you on the next one. If you don't vote with me, your daughter's not getting the scholarship. This is going to happen to your family. You're going to be in trouble. I'll expose you with these pictures that I've taken of you and your girlfriend. They know how to play the game called hardball. It's hardball. And so you know that. You've seen movies on it. You know, you've thought about it. But I'm just telling you, that's the way it's actually done. I mean, it's really done. It's just done exactly like they portray it. And you think, wow, it's almost like in the movies. No, it's exactly like. Exactly the way they do it, that's the way it is. So people are hypocrites in the church. They're hypocrites in business. They're hypocrites in politics. They're hypocrites. You know why? Because people are hypocrites. Do you know anyone? You're sitting right next to one. And they're sitting right next to one too. And that's okay. That's okay. Because we're all not genuine. And if you think you're genuine, you're not. You're not genuine either. Only God is genuine. Only God is genuine. Don't think, well, you know, one thing I try to be is genuine. Really? Well, then genuinely, you're dishonest. Because you've just fooled yourself. You not only fooled other people, you've fooled yourself. Because the Bible says only God is good. How is it that you're genuine? Well, I'm genuine. I mean, that's one quality I have. Really? Well, that's one game you're playing that not only is trying to deceive others, but you've deceived yourself, which is really crazy. So you're not only not genuine, you're insane. Do y'all understand that? Maybe you married someone like that. Peggy's genuine. She is genuine. She's genuine. But I'm teaching her how to be not genuine. And I've had this gift I had from God to bring out her worst side, and it's coming right out, and I love it. It's working perfectly. So she's been able to be real and then understand what love is. Did you understand what I say? Because in her family, you couldn't. If you were real, you got cut out of the will. You know, you got all kinds of negatives. So she was always, always trying to please her parents. They're both dead now. But she had to do that. And then you never find out you're loved. You're loved because you behaved. What if you didn't behave? And she saw what happened when people didn't behave. Oh, my gosh, look what they do. So I don't want to do that. How many of you are in bondage to your own family? That's called ancestor worship. You're worshiping your ancestors. Who cares where you came from? Who cares how illustrious or how, you know, how evil your background is? Everybody has evil parents somewhere. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Goes all the way back to Noah. You know, you don't have a wonderful, illustrious family. And everybody has kings somewhere back there because you're part of the whole human race. There are no, blood is common. All human beings can have type O. All human beings can have type A. You know, all human beings share in that. You put a monkey next to you, you'll discover right away. Of course, it's too late when you discover it. It won't work. You can't get a transfusion from a monkey, even if he's an orangutan or a chimpanzee or a gorilla or wherever you think you came from, you didn't. That is the vengeance of cytochemistry. You will discover right away. But any human being, I don't care how much different you think you are or how similar you think you are, any human being can give you blood who has your type. God knows exactly what he's doing. And all of the lies that are out there and so on and so forth, it may take you generations to figure it out, but you can just assume that most people are not telling you the truth. They're after something. They're sharing something to get something. We are the only people on the face of the earth that could actually be good for no reason. Because Jesus is good. And we're not being good because it pays. It doesn't pay. There's no payment. We're being good because it's good for the other person. In other words, the vine doesn't eat the fruit and the branch doesn't eat the fruit, but someone else eats the fruit and it's not you. Jesus doesn't want any fruit from your fruit. God doesn't want any fruit from your fruit. After all, he produced it. It was a gift from him, and it's a gift to you, but you don't eat the fruit. The fruit's for somebody else. He gave you the faith, but the fruit is not for you. So don't notice it or write it in your book. Did everybody see what I did the other day? You know, and that's why we don't have pews with your names on them and stained glass windows and stuff like that, because we don't want people to get credit. Isn't that sad? I mean, we'd have a bigger church if we'd do that. Imagine, Barbara, you could have this is your normal pew right here, by the way. You could have this. You could have your name right here, and we could put a special little plaque right here. This is where Barbara sits. You know, but we don't do that. It only costs you. And in fact, right now, and this because the economy's down, it's only $500. But normally it's twice that. But you know, it's a bargain time. God wants us to be happy in this world for no reason at all. Just because he's so good. Just because he's so wonderful. He's a wonderful God. I'm happy all the time. I am. Why? Because I believe God loves me. I believe I can mess up, muck up, and I do. I believe I can mess up and muck up, and I still think he loves me. I don't think it changes him. I don't think my performance, bad or good, makes any difference to God. I think the relationship that I have, he's the superior, I'm the inferior, but he lifts me up and says, my son's going to marry you. Wow. Whoa. No, I'm not ready. He said, okay, well, get ready. He said, well, I don't think I can clean up. He said, that's okay. I'll clean you up. I'll just send you to the furnace. What furnace? Well, you have a lot of sin on you. Really? How much? Total. Well, how much are you going to burn? All. What will be left of me? Nothing. Oh, my gosh. Well, couldn't I save the good parts? You could, but you don't have any. I'm just going to burn you up till you're dead. And then what? I'll resurrect you afterward. Ah, that's the idea. So I'd have to trust you on that one, because once I'm dead, I won't know. Because the guy that jumps up will be different. How will I ever know now that he kept his word? He's so tricky. Isn't it, God, funny? He said, Jim, come on, Jim. Come into the fire. See this little fire? Ouch. No, Jim. Yahoo. Ouch. Okay, would you like me to turn it up? Yahoo, ouch. No, Jim. Yahoo all the time. Always Yahoo. So I'm having trouble yahooing all the time. But I learned you go through the fires quicker. Yahoo, okay, yahoo. Yahoo. And you learn after a while, just praise him in all things. How many have learned that? How many are learning that? You're learning to praise God no matter what happens in the economy, what happens in society, ignore it. What happens in your marriage, your health, what happens means nothing. It's what God has already done. That he wrote down in the book, and all you have is that book. You don't even know anything about that. Just it's a human book, but it isn't. It's God's book. It's God's word. So make sure it's the King James. I'm just joking. All right. Associate yourselves, O you people, verse 9, you shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all ye far-off countries. Gird yourselves. You shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves. Get your girdle up. Get your warrior, sword out and so on. You shall be broken in pieces. He just keeps saying it. Take counsel together. Remember we said Jesus is called Wonderful Counselor? Well, don't get human counsel. Take counsel together. Don't go to human counselors. Stop it. It's witchcraft. Take counsel together. In other words, associate yourselves. Be with other people. Get as much advice as you can get. It won't help you. And it shall come to nothing. Speak the word. Any word you speak, it will not stand. For God is with us. That's Emmanuel. For the Lord spoke thus to me, Isaiah said, with a strong hand. And he instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. Now these are Jewish people, and the prophet was told, don't walk with religion. Don't walk with the way of this people, because this people is trying to confederate. This people wants to get along with the world, wants to make confederacies. Say you not a confederacy to all of them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. In other words, don't make alliances. Don't make political, economic, social, religious alliances of any kind. Stay lonely. Stay isolated. Stay alone. Stay vulnerable. When you're weak, that's when you're strong. Because that's when you need a God. You won't go to God if you're strong. If you have your family loves you and you have a good pastor, you would never go to God. That's one reason why you don't have a good pastor. You need to have a God in this church. You cannot make it. You will not make it unless you have your own God. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that good? You see the wisdom of God to give you a bad pastor, that way you have to go to God. He wants you not to worship, to look, to rely upon, oh, Pastor Jim is so reliable. Yeah, I'm not. I can't even rely on myself. Peggy still hopes, still prays, still thinking, because she still has her report card thing. You were pretty good today. She gives me my grade each night, pretty good, doing better. As though that's going to motivate me. I'm uneducable. Do you know what that means? I mean, I can't be taught. I can't. I'm out of control. Is there anyone else like me in this church? Thank you. Four people. Seven. Okay. Eight. Nine. Okay. Ten. All right. Actually, everybody's like me. Everybody's undisciplined. Look at Tiger. Tiger Woods, totally disciplined on the golf course. Goes home, totally undisciplined. Isn't that sad? That's sad. But he's totally disciplined in one area. Now, he's doing the right thing. You know what he's doing now? He's going to quit golf. And he's going to, make sure his wife is with him at all times and so on. It's going to be great. That's good. That's a good little fire, a little furnace for the guy. Why? Because he's going to learn, oh, I have to give up my favorite thing and all this, yeah. And it's all those other goodies you're going to give up too. You're going to amount to something. Now, neither of them are Christian. They're not into that stuff. But I'm telling you, it's getting like, oh, they're narrowing down. Because he's a hero for so many people, and now what? But if he does this, if he disciplines himself, narrows himself down, gives up his love of his life, the thing that he wants to do most of all, just gives it up. Because, when you get older you get, you're not as agile and so on and so forth. So these are his best, this is still his best time. Now he's going to give it up for her. Isn't that great? Don't you see the beauty of that? Don't you see the love of God there? I don't know if you do, but it's powerful. This is big. He's an amazing person. People, all people looked up to him, admired him. Now what? Now, did they despise him? Or do they see the wisdom that's going on here? He's just a normal human being like all of us, right? Just took advantage of a few things. Well, who wouldn't with 100 million come in a year? Why not? But now, not so. So it's exciting. I'm telling you, you have to see everything in light of the kingdom of God. Don't see what you see. Ask God what you're looking at. So as he's narrowed down, it's actually a furnace for him. It's an affliction for him. It's a trouble. It's a difficulty. What's the Bible say? Rejoice. When all men speak well of you, that's not good. But when they revile you and utter all kinds of evil, rejoice in that day. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? If all men admire you and then the next minute they say crucify you, that happened to Jesus. One day on Sunday, Palm Sunday, they all admired him. Hail, Hosanna to the Son of David. By Thursday, the same people, crucify him. That is fickle. That is changing your mind quick. For one minute, I remember when we first got married, this pig looked up to me a little bit till we got together a little bit. Then she didn't admire me anymore. I said, Peg, you're not worshiping me. You're not continuing to see what a wonderful husband I am. So, and she had no humor. She didn't think that was funny at all. She didn't. And I'd tickle her. I'd try to tickle her. She wouldn't tickle. But now she does it to me. She does it to me. When she does something wrong and I get mad at her because she seldom does anything wrong and so I seldom get a chance. But when I do, she'll make me laugh and I hate that because I wanted to be mad for hours like she is, And so and she'll go, "Do you love me?" And she knows what I have to say. It's a checkmate. It's a total checkmate. Any way I go, it's going to be wrong. Did you want to say I love you or to forgive you? No. But see, I'm going to be wrong. Anyway I go, she's got me. She did it this morning. Are you happy now? She knew I was mad because I had her on something. She did wrong. I had her. What did I have you on? I don't even remember. What was it?
We were just discussing your singing.
Oh, yeah. She knows how to hurt a guy. I mean, she got me right there. So, we were having an argument, and she always thinks she's right. I'm right. So we just have that problem that she doesn't know how to submit. That's all. She would just submit. We'd be all right. But anyway.
This is the first time I ever did that. Because, when you don't want me to keep at you, I just
yeah.
Don't do anymore. So,
you did it.
I did it to you. I don't want to.
And that ruins everything. I mean,
it's kind of fun because you always do it and I didn't.
No. She got me. That's awful. We could go on like this for a long time. All right, now, God is teaching. He's not even interested in the northern tribes. He's only interested in the southern tribes here. For the Lord says, "What if they call it a confederacy, don't you call it that. Don't fear what they fear. Fear what I tell you. Sanctify, verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear, and don't fear anybody else. Let him be your dread." So only fear God. "And he shall be a sanctuary for you, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel." In other words, northerners and southerners. So Jesus, when it says sanctify the Lord of hosts, it means Jesus is coming. You listen to him because he'll be a sanctuary. But Jesus will be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both northern and southern, because they're all the same. "And a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." You know what that means? That's saying Jerusalem today will be given over to three groups. One, the Jewish people. Two, the Muslim people. Three, the Christian people. All three groups, from the beginning, have always wanted to control Jerusalem. All three groups. The Pope, this is the oldest claim, in Western history, is the Pope wants to have Jerusalem as his headquarters, as his capital. It's a spiritual capital, not like Rome. So that's his biggest dream. You don't even know that, but that's his biggest dream. And the Muslims, ever since they began in the year 622, ever since they began, their one drive was to get Jerusalem, to have Jerusalem in their hands. And they got it. They took it until the Crusades. Then the Christians said, "Our turn." Israel had it. Now the Muslims have it. Now we'll take it. But we couldn't hang on to it. If you all know the Crusades and how they all went and so on and so forth. So we lost it. But the King of Spain today still has the title King of Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? That's the dream of Europe. Take Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is a divided city, and it will always be until the Lord comes back. Isn't that awful? Because then nobody has it. It's divided up into three revelation religions. The three religions, Judaism, and then Catholicism, Christian, and then the Muslims. They all three have to get along. But I just told you, they actually have deals under the table anyway. But they don't get along. The average person hates the other person, hates the other person, hates the other person. So you have all these people in Jerusalem. It's kind of like the city to get, but no one's ever going to get it. The Jews are never going to get it either. It's not going to be theirs. I mean, the only way it could happen is if something would happen to the Dome of the Rock. Let's say it fell down. I mean, just on its own. Just fell down. Did you know that whenever an earthquake takes place in Jerusalem, the crack widens? Imagine what would happen if that famous mosque just fell down. It would create an international world war. It really would. But the Jews are saying, "Look, we didn't do it. You guys did it by digging underneath the little mount that you have there. You were the first to be digging. Yes, but we dug nicely. You dug in a poor way. Our engineer said you did. No, we didn't. You did." So they're fighting over that. But the last time there was a big earthquake, because we have someone that lives there, actually, from our church. But the last time there was a big earthquake, they said a crack showed up in the dome. So that means that underneath, it's all being dug out. And every now earthquake makes the offices upstairs and all the buildings and so on, they begin to fall off. In fact, in the woman's side, y'all will understand this. On the woman's side, not the man's side, but on the woman's side, the rocks began to fall down and the women weren't even allowed to pray anymore. You don't say that's funny. But anyway, so the women couldn't pray, only the men could pray. And for, a man, that was good. The women not pray. No. Women want to pray too. Now they fixed it up. But they're always worried about that because that was God, of course, keeping the women from praying because they take the credit then. You know how women are. They want the credit for everything. It's the way Peggy is. See, she wants credit for everything. She's always trying to get credit. She couldn't do what I'm doing. But then, I couldn't do what she does. So, you see how God has a sense of humor? Did y'all see that? It's a great sense of humor. He loves you just the way you are. And don't think you'll ever fix up, because you'll never fix up. The only thing to do with you, since you're unimprovable, is kill you. So that's what God is out to do. And, you know, what's beautiful about it is you fall in love long before the other person's perfected. Isn't that interesting? You don't have to wait for the other person to fix. You can love them before they're fixed. Now, you are allowed to love your children, to love your husband, to love your wife, to love your pastor, to love your pastor. You know, you can do that. Because I know I'm not lovable. I'm not. I don't work at it even. But you can do it anyway just for free. You get to love people that aren't lovable. Isn't that exciting? It's a killer. So I'm doing you a favor. It's a killer. It's a killer. You know what would happen in this world if everybody was dead to themselves and dead to this world and alive to God? No confederacies, no covenants, no contracts, no connections. Just to God. One by one by one by one by one. Not the whole. One by one by one. That's how you come into the kingdom. We're not united in each other. We don't need a covenant with each other. You know, like when all the ministers sign something. It's nothing. It's individuals. You have to do this from the heart, genuine. Anybody can fake it. Anyone can make a deal. But this is from the heart. The unity's upstairs in God. It's not downstairs. It's never in the people. Your unity has to be because you're an individual before God, and you always remain an individual before God, and your spirit and your soul and your body needs to be given over to God. First your spirit, then your soul, then your body. And so God wants to kill us until we have no life of our own, and we only live for Him. Isn't that exciting? That's beautiful. That would help your marriage. So your death would be life for your wife. What do you think of that idea?
I'm getting there.
Yeah? You getting there? How far are you? Half?
1 foot.
1 foot? That is a true man. Just 1 foot and it's already a victory without question. I'm getting there. Then if anything comes up, he's got, no, I started. I started. Now, God wants you to listen to this word. Why? Because this word is your only light. This word is the only light in this world. The light of politics is right here in this word. The light of economics is right here in this word. The light of society is right here in this word. Unless your city has a foundation, a rock under it, which is the word, which is the Lord, which is Yeshua, which is the Torah, which is the only thing that you have in this world, there is no light. So let your light so shine before men, not before the church, not before God, before men, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You know what the world is waiting for? Us, who are the bride of Christ, who are the body of the Lord, for us to look like what we talk like. He wants us to actually have families that work, have children and grandchildren, churches and so on. He actually wants that to be the case so that the world can look at it and say, that's what we should have done. How did they do that? How is it that they get along with each other? Because we're just like everybody else in the world, right? If we could get along, anybody could get along. If you could love me, you could love anybody. Now, I think that'd be a good way to start. Don't y'all? It would be good. I mean, just start on Pastor Jim because he doesn't deserve it. And so you just do it for free and it'll break you. It'll kill you. It'll kill you. To love me, because I don't even like people to love me. I don't even want people to love me. I don't. Because then you'd expect something out of me and I don't like that. As it is right now, you expect nothing out of me, and you're always blessed by that. Because I expected nothing from him, and I got nothing. It's beautiful. Dolores, remember when you called me up one time? And you said, well, what good are you? I love that. And I thought about that. That is so accurate. So what, you know, what are you for? It's beautiful. Y'all say, that's beautiful. Thank you, Dolores. Open my eyes. And many among them, this is the Jewish people, shall stumble and fall and be broken and snared and taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. I, Isaiah, the prophet, will wait upon the Lord. He hides his face from the house of Jacob. So in other words, the Jewish people can't see the Lord. They don't even like Jesus, Yeshua. They don't even want to say his name. But I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me, because this is all about Jesus, are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwells in Mount Zion. And when they say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God rather than for the living to seek among the dead? So, wizards that peep and mutter. In other words, the people of Israel have turned to witchcraft. They've turned to idolatry. Thank God none of us have. But they have. They've done that. Now, you also have to be careful that you don't fall into that same idolatry where you want something here. You want to make a covenant here. You want to rely on some human. You want to have a president you can count on. You want to have a governor you can count on. Well, you're not going to get it. You want to have a pastor. You want to have somebody here. It's not going to happen. A husband, a wife, children. No, you're not. It's not going to happen. God will not give you that. He won't. So let's say you have a loving husband. Well, first of all, he's not. But let's say you believe you do. Well, he'll take him away then, because you can't rely on him. No, I need him. He's a what do they call it? A significant other. Men are so clever with words. A significant other. And so what will I do, you know, if the people that I know, I mean, I don't have that many friends. If she dies or if he dies, then I'll have nothing. Well, you don't need anyone but the Lord. You already have him. You don't need anyone. So say these words. I will be happy just with the Lord. Now, when you get down to only the Lord and everything else is falling apart and all you have is the Lord, most people are sad about that. God, it's gotten down pretty bad. I've lost everybody and everything. Now I have nothing. Well, you have me. Well, yeah, that's how bad it's gotten. That's how bad it is all I've got is you. Well, you know what? The Lord's excited about that. So you don't have anyone now? No, sir. So, and if you keep smiling like that, I'm not going to have you either. You know, you don't have anyone? No. Could you give me someone? You have me. I know, but could you give me someone? So, like, God wants to be your whole life. Isn't that exciting? That all your joy and all your peace and all your happiness and all your life, everything is God. Are you all content with just God? No matter what, you don't need a good husband. You don't need a good pastor. You don't need a good anything. You have everything you need. You have everything you want. You have everything there is. So, that is powerful. That's what he's teaching Israel. That's called death. Death to this world, death to the flesh, death to yourself. To the law and to the testimony. In other words, let's just live by the law of God and the testimony. Now, the law of God is not perform, it's believe. The law of God, I don't care what you think, the law of God in the Old Testament, the Torah, is nothing but faith first, then fruit. Not fruit first, then relationship with Jesus or with God or with anyone. No, you've got to start with the law. The true law is the law of faith that comes before works, relationships before performance. That's Emmanuel. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If you don't speak the word of God, just as he put it, and nothing more, but nothing less, there's no light. And they shall pass through it, that is the Assyrians are going to come through your land, hardly bestead and hungry, And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble, darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus is that great light. Today, Israel is not finished with her afflictions. She's got one last one. And the whole world is going to be drawn into the vortex of that last affliction. We already know who the people are that are going to do the afflicting. We know exactly how it's going to come about. You don't have to be a prophet to see it. Israel cannot escape. There's no way. It's too many of them. She has too few. With all of her technology and all of her advances, it won't help. You got people living right in your gut, right in your belly. America's divided. Europe is opposed to Israel. They have no friends left in the world. This is the time for the last and final affliction, suffering. And when they do, every city will be laid desolate. I'm sorry. Don't take this as just a joke. It means Tel Aviv and Haifa and Jerusalem and so on. They're all going to be devastated. There won't be inhabitant. There won't be people living there. They'll be devastated, wiped out, ruined. So if you didn't go to the Holy Land, and I think I'm going to go next year, but if you didn't go, you may never see it again. It may be destroyed. Because the time is soon. It isn't now. That's why I'm going next year. It isn't now, but it's close. When the enemies of Israel will finally gather together. And the Christian church is on the line. If you're truly Christian and you love God, then you love Israel. Period. You cannot judge her. You cannot. Otherwise, you're not with God. God loves Israel. Wherever they are scattered, wherever they are gathered, it doesn't matter. Love them as they are, not fixed up. If we don't even love one another, how are we going to love them? If you don't even love your own husband and your own wife, how are you going to love anybody? You have to be dead. That's why he gave you a bad marriage. That's why he gave you a bad family. That's why he gave you a bad life. So you can learn something. Can you be happy no matter what? All the time. I mean, you're never allowed to be unhappy. In my family, when we grew up, you could never look unhappy in my family. If I saw the kids, just even if they had the smallest frown, hey, what are you doing? This is a Christian house, smile. Or I'll spank you. It did. It is. I didn't do it with Peggy, but I did with the kids. When you see me come in the house, go like this. Yahoo, Dad's home! Something like that. That's the way I'd like it. Peggy never took me seriously. And the kids didn't either. But anyway. You know, that's why I love little bitty kids, like your little girl. They just, when you come home, you know, at night, oh, Dad's home. It's exciting. And in a few years, they won't do that. In a few years, they'll be saying, I need a car, Dad. But you got some time yet. Now, God wants us to love one another today. Do you love everybody today? Is anybody, you get that? Don't say, well, I don't feel like it, or I don't want to. That's irrelevant. That's just die to that. Stop that. You love me, and I love you, and you love everybody, and that's all there's to it. That's why he came. You're not working at it. Don't work at it. It either comes whole, just finished. Remember Jesus on the cross? It's finished. He shouldn't have said that. It's finished. Well, I know. Well, I'm working on it, like you said. One foot. I got one foot. No, it's finished. So, it's just from this moment on, live like heaven here. Don't wait till you go to heaven to live like heaven. Everyone's going to live like heaven in heaven. It's down here that it counts for somebody else. Otherwise, heaven will be empty. So, you know, you want to wait till you get up there. How many are happy right now? Just the way things are, not fixed up. I mean, wars and troubles and problems and class fights and, you know, male against female, fat people don't like skinny people and all that stuff. Let it be. Don't fix it. Just get yourself right with God today. Don't save anything. Don't save it. Don't fix it. If the ark is falling, let it fall. See that? Now, that's not the world you want, but that's the only world you have. So, who's ready to be happy all the time? No matter what. No matter what. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow, praise God. Woo! Wow, that is a miracle. What a good pastor. I am a good pastor. That's good. Anybody on this side? James? No? Three? Four? Five? Yeah? Nah. Go back to Louisiana. No, we don't like people like that. Oh, you can be unhappy. Okay, we love you anyway. Amen. It's good. What a blessing. God is good. The people that walked in darkness shall see a great light. What's problems? Every problem you have, every trouble you have, it's a blessing. There's a blessing in the problem. There's a blessing in judgment. There's a blessing in it. There is no such thing as just an unmitigated disaster. Everything has a blessing in it. Why? That's the way God is. Everything is working together. All things work together for the good. All. Now, I know it's bad, but he uses bad to accomplish his good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day. Today. There may not be a tomorrow, but today is the day of salvation. We thank you, Lord God, that this is the day you have made. You made this day for us to walk in newness of life, to enjoy your presence. We didn't earn it. We don't have to. It's just your pleasure to give us the kingdom. Not in the world to come. Now, today, to just shower your love upon us. Why? How do we know that? Because you wrote that. You wrote that. You put that in your book. We read it. And we believed it. And it's true. It's true. And that truth sets us free. Thank you, Lord God. We love you so much. We will rejoice today. We will. We will. We just choose to. We don't have to understand it, feel it, want it, think it. It's just true. So we will rejoice and be glad in this day. Thank you that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And that light will never, ever, ever go out. Lord God, cause us to be wise today, to walk circumspectly, not foolishly, but to walk in this law, this truth, this doctrine, this faith, that there is no darkness in the world that can take us. There is no one to seize the prey. There is no one to take up the spoil. We belong to you. We are yours forever and ever and ever and ever. In Jesus' holy name. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face, cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his shalom, his total love toward you, his complete joy in being with you and wanting you just the way you are. Thank you, Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And everyone said, bless someone before you go. Find somebody, bless them.